Hello and welcome to episode 53 of Beyond Retro Podcast. I'm Tyler Baker, Nasty Nate Kennedy, and the Rotten Joe Amato. We're all here today. Should be no emergencies because we're going back deep into the past here. You know, well, maybe for some people. But how's everyone doing today?
I'm doing all right. We were talking before the show, and I'm just going to go ahead and bring this up now. But Tyler and I, and it was funny how this happened, too. I went to Walmart, and I'm walking down the toy aisle, and I was like, well, the Transformers used to be over here. And they had switched some shit around, so I finally find them, and I'm just paying attention to the ones that are in front of me. I look down, I'm like, holy shit, it's what I've been seeing online. It's the basically the G1 reissues that they've been putting out at Walmart. It's a select few characters, and I saw Starscream. They had like a shitload of hot rods, but no one wants hot rods.
Yeah.
So there's one Starscream sitting there, and I pull out my phone getting ready to text Tyler to be like, ha-ha, look what I found, and I have a text message from Tyler that's like, hey, there's a Starscream. There's one left. I was like, were you just here? Where are you? He's like, I'm in the parking lot. So we both got a Starscream, but I get a text message last night. And I'm just sitting there having some drinks, just watching movies. And I was like, you get them displayed yet? And he's like, I'm working on it. How about you? And I was like, no, he's still in the box, just over there on the shelf. And then about half hour later, I get a text. This thing's making me feel dumb as shit. And I just, like, I lost it. Cracked up laughing. Tyler still hasn't figured it out. It gave him a headache. Tell us a little more about that, because you said you even went as far to look up YouTube videos, but none of them, they were all different Starscreams, and the one, I'll let you.
It validates, like, why I've always had such a trouble trying or being interested in buying Transformers, because unless they come in their full robot mode the minute you buy them, it makes me just feel like a complete idiot. You know, I think I'd have a better time putting together in a Rubik's Cube or something like that in 60 seconds than trying to figure out how to transform a damn Transformer. God, they're so damn fragile. The instructions are very vague. They don't tell you much. Other than, here's an arrow. Flip this thing this way. What thing? What is this? And I got so frustrated with it. I hate it that I got this kick-ass looking figure and I can't get them. I can't do it.
I'm sure somewhere once Doug listens to any of this, he's probably just going to shake his head in shame.
Then fine. I will gladly mail the figure to Doug, let him do it for me, I'll pay for shipping and handling to send it back.
Well, here's the thing, too. Tyler also texted me. He's like, hey, if you figure yours out, you're coming over and doing mine. I was like, oh, all right.
Yeah. Because I just want to be able to display him in his robot form. I don't give a shit about, because I'll never do it. I've tried to do it at times in the past. Like, God, I'm an idiot. So,
well,
I don't know if Joe ever had issues like that or not. Probably not, but.
I only had, I think, three Transformers as a kid. It was Optimus Prime, Jazz, and Megatron. That was it. That's the only Transformers I had.
Of all the ones you could have gotten, you picked three of the biggest heavy hitters. Like, man,
Yeah, those are the ones I loved. I always loved them. My buddy had and still has every Transformer, and I used to just be in awe going over his house. I had the He-Man stuff. He had the Transformer stuff. So that was kind of my fix of, well, I was like, well, I don't own them, but I at least can go over to somebody's house and play with them and transform them. And he would do them quick. And I remember there was some I was just lost with. I was like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I just felt like a moron. So, yeah, they're the most.
I'm glad it wasn't me, because Nathan said the same thing.
Yeah, well,
I only had like the kid. One was easy to transform. It was like a small little Jeep. It wasn't Hound. I can't remember who it was, but it was just a small Jeep. I'm like, I can do this. And then I had like one like underwater, rather large transformer that was kind of easy to transform. There wasn't a whole lot to it. It was pretty simplistic, but Jesus Christ, man, that Starscream, it just feels like you're going to break it by doing much. I'm like, son of a bitch, I can't get the head to flip back over here. How can you, wheels go down here? I said, oh, shit. Nathan, I felt like Chunk crying, and Nathan's like, you know, Robert Davi sitting there laughing at that. I'm like, I'm beginning to like this guy.
I was just dying last night because the way Tyler texts, It's always like a lot of exclamation points. Like he's really like, yeah, like jazzed up for everything to just see that text. Like this thing's making me feel dumb as shit. Like I just, oh, it was.
I did. I felt like such a moron. I really did look up all these videos of people talking Starscream. They're not telling you how to do it. It's either like the very original Starscream or a variation of Starscream from this or a variation from that. I'm like, this ain't helping. And
you know, I'm gonna take a crack at it later today. So hopefully it turns out.
Please do. I just want to have them displayed. I was like, you know what? I can't do this. So I made sure I went back to Walmart and got the Jazz figure that they had that's already in robot form, just so I can. Okay, I've got one of my favorite characters on display in robot form because that's all I want.
Good you stuff.
Know? God.
Well, before we get going and reminiscing about walking down the aisles and checking out all the artwork and avoiding the little corner set aside in one of the video stores I used to go to that I didn't know what it was, but it turns out it was the porn stuff. Basically, it's just like a catalog book and you'd pick it and go to the counter. Before we get going into that, if you are new to the channel, make sure you hit that subscribe button and ring the bell so you get notified when we go live so you can join us in the lovely chat room.
And also to say hello to Jake Juggalo, Yanish, Tamara Shipper, and Grimbot all in the chat room as well. So thank you for joining
Fantastic.
us.
Well, let's, because I know this is going to vary from region to region. Obviously, Tyler was in different counties and towns growing up, so he got to sort of experience all the different video stores. But for me in my town, even though it's a tiny ass town, at one point, sort of in the heyday of video stores, we had three. So there were plenty of options. We had Frank's Video, Two Thumbs Up Video, and Showtime, et cetera, which used to have another name. And then when they moved again, they changed their name to Peak Creek Mercantile, which Tyler and I always, Peak Creek Mercantile all the time. Yeah. Anyway, that always seemed sort of fishy to me. I felt like maybe they were changing the names to avoid paying certain amounts of like taxes or something like that. It just seemed kind of weird. Every few years, the name would just change just overnight. But Joe, what was it like in your town? How many video stores did you have nearby?
Well, we had the main chain of the Video Connection. That was like almost everywhere within a 2-3 mile radius. In any direction you'd go, there was pretty much a Video Connection. And then some Blockbusters popped up later, but it wasn't a place I frequented. It was always Video Connection. And, of course, later on, even a little bit of Family Video. But beyond that, I told you the story before, was just Ben's Tropical Fish. Makes no sense, but Ben's Tropical Fish. It was a place that was probably 2 miles where I lived. It was across the street from where I used to ride my bike to go to 7-Eleven to get the Masters of the Universe comic. And it was a fish store, but then it said, eventually they added, in video. And we were like, huh.
I love that Joe had that, because I'll let Joe think of how much businesses back in the 80s and 90s would combine. You know, grocery stores used to have video stores inside them, and convenience stores would have video stores inside them. Like, it was so cool to think that everybody wanted to get in on the video rental market. God, it was magical to see that you could go almost anywhere and they're renting videos. It was so cool.
And it gave you a lot of options. Just, yeah. You know, you go here, this movie's not there. You had other places to go to try to rent it. It was a good time. All right, Joe, go ahead.
But you're right. No, I mean, almost everywhere, like you said, a lot of the grocery stores, they start doing, you know, video parts in it. But Ben's, it was the funnest for me. That was the first time I seen it and said, and video, and I remember going with my mom, like, well, let's see what's going on. Went there, the place just stunk to high heaven, because it was, I mean, you just...
Oh, it means it's good. It means it's good. If it smells you know musty, it's got to be good.
And it was, that's what I liked. You know, it allows you going nice, clean smell. When you went into the funk, but you got some cool stuff that sometimes wasn't at the other places. And yeah, I remember the first time I went there, it was like Wonderland. I was like, what is going on? This, you right when you walk in, here's the counter for where you check out, and off the side are all the tropical fish, and they had some parrots and stuff. But then when you walk straight back, it was heaven. It was just all these video cassettes of anything you could think of, from the cartoons to horror. And that's my first time I remember seeing the Toxic Avenger. I didn't see it at the theater. It was, yeah, right there. I was like, oh my God, what is this? And then all these other things of, you know, Beastmaster, and all, just so many cool fantasy art and pieces. But I just remember going there every single weekend. I loved walking to the store, riding my bike to the store, and when, you know, we drive, but it was a treat. And then you become buddies and pals with these people. You know, they get you deals sometimes. They give you an extra day, you know, to, you know, keep the video just because you know them and word of mouth. And that had to be the funnest place I went to, was Ben's Tropical Fish to rent my videos. I mean, later on, there's more stories of other stuff, but I think that's my most memorable beyond the video connections. Like I said, there was a lot in a lot of different races, but there was one particular one that was like maybe 4 miles down from where we lived. And this one was, it was like a smaller one. There was, you see the building from the front, but you had to drive down the side street and then go into the parking lot and go into the back to get into the store. There was no front entrance. You could go to the back. And that's where we always rented our beta tapes. And I told you that too, was eventually beta started getting phased out and we walked in like, where are the tapes? And the guy said, well, you guys got to go upstairs now. The VHS is just taking over more and more, and eventually there won't be beta. And we were so fucking let down and sad. But remember, we walked up the steps, and as we walked, the guy, I mean, it's bizarre, but you had to go up a set of steps like you're going in a house, and the guy yelled up the stairs. He's like, don't have your son walk off to the right. And so, because I walked up there with my dad, and then as I walked up, I looked, and you see XXX. It was like, that was the porn section. He's like, no, Joe, over here. And we had the section that was literally the size of the room I'm sitting in. That's all you had. There was never nothing new. It was the same stuff of Beverly Hills Cop and any other thing you could think of you've seen a million times, and He-Man cartoons. That was it. That was our little section. But it was fun, and we tried to make the best of it. You know, we really milked that bait as much as we could, and renting almost every tape until we're like, oh, got to move on. But those are my best two places.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up, because I remember that you talked about you guys just jumped into to beta, which it's a shame, because you look back at it, beta tapes are superior to VHS tapes as far as quality.
Yeah.
And I that had to suck. Like, so it basically just reached that point, like you said, right? You just,
yeah,
you rented everything, and then you're like, all right, I guess we have to if we want to watch anything new.
Because, you couldn't watch anything else. And that's what was first, was beta. I mean, at least that's what we had first. I don't know if it came out before VHS or if they came around the same time, but I know beta was the thing. If you had beta, you were like, you know, king shit. But, yeah, then it started phasing away, and, yeah, here came VHS, and it was a while, but we got it. And maybe that's why, you know, I always say I didn't record a lot of the stuff from early in the 80s, because we didn't have a VHS, and I honestly don't know if we ever recorded anything with beta. I just don't remember doing that. I don't remember recording anything with our beta player, but I wish we would have the VHS, because I would have loved to, you know, record Masters of the Universe and a lot of my favorite cartoons back then, but yeah, never came to be.
Yeah, I think by the time Tyler and I were old enough to have earliest memories of video stores, I don't even think beta tapes were there anymore. I can't recall any beta tapes anywhere.
King ever. Video, which was a mom and pop chain in the area, they were in business for quite a while. They the one in Blacksburg had beta tapes sprinkled throughout the store. And I didn't know the difference. And I went to go pick out a particular He-Man tape and took it up to the counter with my dad. He'd gotten a couple of movies or something. And the clerk told us, this beta, you know. And he says, it's not VHS. I'm like, oh, crap. And that was my first time ever hearing the word beta or what beta was. And having to put back this He-Man tape that I had never seen before and had to go pick out another He-Man tape. That was from that point on, I kind of made a point, or at least a conscious effort, that if I'm looking at something, that it wasn't beta. And I was like maybe 6-7 years old when I saw that. So that would have been like the early 90s, probably. Maybe 89 when that happened. But then after that, all the video stores in my immediate area in Radford, where I currently live, they didn't have any beta tapes. Everything was VHS from Beyond Video, my first video store, Entertainment Tonight down the road, King Video, which was they had one location in Radford and then moved. They all had VHS. Like, it was just, and you could rent VCRs back then too, because we would have to do that at some point when our VCR broke. We would go to King Video. You could rent a VCR. They even had camcorders to rent back.
Yeah,
too. You could rent a camcorder, you know, record stuff. So it was they just were like really stores of convenience. And just there were, I mean, I'm sure both you guys know the way Joe just described his fish store. You can't help but feel like most of the video stores that we frequented all had a specific scent. The many, like the door would either crack open, squeak open, ring open, and then the smell of video, whatever location would smack you in the face, you're like, that's power. And you're just like, oh my God. And then you see the return slot off to your left or your right. You're like, well, if they don't have a chef, I can always go look in the return of it and just wander around. Like, I'm on a mission to find a He-Man tape for the weekend or Thundercats or She-Ra. I'm going to get Predator or I'm going to get this and get that. I mean, hand it to my dad and I go to walk the horror section. You always had a routine. At least I always did. Because I went in on a mission every time I went to the video store, whether it was a new release, a new video game, or I'm going to get my He-Man tape for the weekend, go pick it out, take my time, wander around, and then I can grow my pair of fake balls and walk to the horror section and think about what each horror movie was going to be about. You know?
Well, because I know this is going to vary, because it always varied store by store for me, but how they set up whether it was in stock or out of stock. Now, the traditional thing is they would just have the VHS box empty, but have the tape in its case, like the plastic case behind it. But other times, too, especially with Showtime, they would have them all just there, but underneath there'd be a peg with like a little tag, and you would just take that off and hand it to the front. So if the tag wasn't there, then you were shit out of luck. But were there any other variations that you guys can think of?
I don't remember anything with a tag, to be honest. The thing we did was they just kept it simple. The empty box in front and then a tape in the back, or, you know, like those clear plastic cases. And they would have maybe two or three, and you know, ooh, there's one, ooh, there's one. And then there was nothing. You're just shit out of luck. But for me, there was never anything else but that. Just the clear case with the tape in back and then the empty, you know, the empty case in front. Like, I'll be showing some of my cases. Like, it was like this. Yeah, Art of Killer.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course it's a Steven Seagal movie. Of course
it front, is. And then you have a clear case with, you know, the tapes all in back and stuff. But, no, that's the only way we had it. Yeah, I'll have to get some of these movies later. Because, you know, what's funny is when I was cycling through all these, I was like, God, I forgot I bought this for a quarter way back when Video Connection went out of business. And I'm going to have to pass it to Tyler to tell me what it is. It's He-Man and the Masters of the Universe Volume 7. I was like, what the hell was on this? I got to get a VCR just so I can watch some of my old stuff.
Yeah, Volume 7. I think that's...
Because I can't skip stickers covering, so I can't see nothing.
Yeah, that might be the one with Prince Adam No More and The Taking of Castle Grayskull, I think.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Because a lot of the labels, like there were variations in the He-Man label sometimes. Oh, God. See, when I just look at those He-Man labels...
Yeah,
I get like lovesick for the past of renting my He-Man VHS tapes and seeing, you know, sometimes the sticker would be somewhat kind of see through because it had been used so much, and you know, certain tapes had more wear and tear on it or whatever. Some of them were brighter than others, and just seeing that strip on the end of the tape and on it, it's a magical feeling. That's what introduced me to He-Man and She-Ra. Mm-hmm. All that's just I've got them all in the room there, but I think that's the volume that's on there. But
because we got people already. We got Jake mentioned in the chat room about, you know, they always talk about they put that Be Kind Rewind, and yeah, they put that on there, and they put that hollow foil sticker so you can alter and screw with the tape. And yeah, this has got so many damn stickers on it. Yeah, it has them all. And I don't know if you guys ever had it, but I remember if you ever rented a couple tapes and, oh shoot, I forgot to rewind it. You'd have one in the VCR, and did any of you guys have any of those video rewinders?
My dad. I always wanted one because my cousins had them, and it just rewound those tapes so fast. But there was one time that it just completely just ate it up and destroyed it.
Oh wow, that would have sucked because my dad still has his car one. It looks like a car, and you shove it in there, and it sounds like an engine revving, but it's actually the tape rewinding. He still got that thing; it actually works still.
I see them in Goodwill. I actually saw one a couple weeks ago and was tempted to get it. I need to go and dig out my VCRs because I have two of them. I need to dig one of them out and hook it up because, Joe, since you got all your tapes there, at some point I guess I'll slide back and grab
a couple of these. I'll show some of these. Also, still has some stories about the stores too. Just like you guys probably still have plenty, which are great. But that's the thing, when I looked at my collection, because I got like, there's just hundreds. There's just so many crazy things, but there's a lot of stuff I recorded. And back then, I never usually labeled a lot, and it pisses me off. And I'm thinking, damn it, why didn't I label half of these? Because I'm looking at a lot, and it says WCW and Royal Rumble and WWF. But I'm like, but what? What are half? The only one that says Royal Rumble is this. What were these? Were they pay-per-views? Were they Raws? Were they Nitros? It's, you know, the Saturday Night's Main Event, I did label those. But, well, here's that He-Man one. And, hold on. And, of course, got some Hard to Kill. I got all Seagal's damn tapes. Got my good old RoboCop. Got to have that on tape.
I've got that over here on the shelf.
Too. Yeah, I got it. It's sitting over here beside
me as well.
Got my Action
Jackson.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep, so I got that. I got this one is probably one of the last. Well, it is. It's the last cartoon series I recorded. And that was the first time when I recorded for the, you know, MYP.
my recordings of that He-Man series are on the exact same Maxell tapes too.
No shit. Well, look at that. Great find stick of light. So, ain't that something? So, yeah, that's. I was be sure to do that. And then I remember getting a lot of sits on me, and I gotta watch these again. This was, you know, sometimes you're thinking you're getting something super amazing, fantastic, and I had this X-Men tape that I bought. All it is a 5-minute interview with Stan Lee. That's it about the cartoon.
It's not an episode or anything like that?
No, it's let me get it out. I'm for sure it was just literally it's, and you can even see the length of it. Oh wait, hold on a second. It does say running. Damn, it looks so small. It says running time 50 minutes, but the tape's so small. And it says 5-minute interview with Stan Lee, but you can tell I didn't rewind. That's all that was on there. Sure doesn't look like much. Shit, I don't know. Like I said, I haven't seen it in years. Then I got had some other cartoons. Had Spider-Man.
I remember that one.
And some of the Transformers got 3 episodes, you know, More Than Meets the Eye, Part 1, 2, and 3.
Yes, the Rhino release. I remember getting some of those, too.
It just... 2 G.I. Joe episodes first.
I had that one. I had that tape. It came in a 3-pack.
Oh, did it? And then the last one was my whole story that Nathan likes giving me shit about. But here it is. Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers, the original producer's cut. Oh, man. Over just years ago. I mean, like I said, over 20 years ago. I remember I pissed my pants when I was at that, you know, it was at the Toledo Sports Arena.
What's that say on the back? It says, features 43 minutes of...
Yeah, you know, like never seen footage. So when I'm seeing this, picture me, you know, this is, at least for me, back in, well, the late 90s, I believe. It was before the internet, before I had the internet. I don't know how long it's been around. But, I mean, I lost. I was like, what in the hell? I'm reading the back, and it's just after the original completion of Halloween 6, the producer was replaced, and over half the film was reshot, including a new ending. This is the never-before-seen original cut of Halloween 6, and... Man, I bought this, lost my mind. Like I said, it's all blurry and fuzzy. You can't really see half the stuff, but I could hear it, and I knew everything that was going on. I was like, oh, my God. So I felt like king of the world. I'm telling all my friends, did you know there's a different Halloween? They're like, no. So yeah, this thing in its case, and it's from Singapore. All these imports, it says it comes from Video Imports in Singapore. So
yeah, that's a bootleg-ass bootleg right there. Joe, when I was in Walmart yesterday, they had an end cap. And it's like this retro thing. There's slip covers on these Blu-rays that make it look like, you know, VHS tapes. They have the producer's cut on that end cap. $5, okay. Joe.
All right.
$5. Go to Walmart and see if they've put that out.
I'll do that. And you said they're Blu-rays, but they make them look like old VHS.
Yeah, well, the slip covers on them. Some of them, it's like, here's box art, and then they left about that much space to be like a VHS was sliding out of it. I mean, they're really awesome looking because they have like First Blood, John Wick, all kinds of stuff. It looks really cool, but that is there, and it's $5. So,
all right, thanks for letting me know. I can get it. That sounds pretty affordable.
Since he wouldn't let me buy it for him and mail it to him,
right? I'll get it, but go ahead, pass to you guys.
I'm gonna slide back here and pick some of these tapes. Most of mine is just like horror films that I've found as I've gotten older. Tyler's seen it when he's coming. Fed the dogs and everything.
Well, I'm sure you have to probably have, I'm assuming, all the Friday the 13th, Halloween, and Elm Street.
Actually,
along with...
no.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Well, you gotta have pumpkin heads, leprechaun, critters. You gotta have some of the goodies.
Actually, not really. These are all just like really
like terrible ass movies.
Oh, well then now I'm really intrigued. If I was seeing these, well, seeing your collection, then now
it's
I'm
more
intrigued.
About like the crazy cool looking box art, but he does have movies like Fright Night, Terminator.
Yeah.
No, so, you know, classics.
Universal Soldier.
Okay.
But yeah, let me go ahead and grab some of these, like, just really bad ones.
All right.
I remember to bring them up. We go around frequently to Goodwill to look up a lot of crummy ass VHS tapes, and he just would send me pictures and like, "Hey, look what I got! It looks cool, but you know it's crap. But it just makes for great display pieces."
Isn't
that's
it true?
What a lot of that stuff is.
That's true, though. A lot of them have just amazing box art, and the movies are absolute garbage. But they do look really cool when they're.
But that was one of the selling points about the video store too, is that you could wander around thinking you found. What the hell is that? Like a beautiful woman being chased by a giant alligator, and it's, you know, an alligator in Manhattan or something like that. And it's just like this really shitty B movie with like an inflatable alligator floating around in a swimming pool or something like that. But
it's a bad one. I wish I could remember the one. There was one that something along the tagline was, I thought they showed someone, it looked like they might have had a hockey mask. And it said something like, you know, Jason, Freddy, Michael, they don't have nothing on this guy. And then
yes, I'm familiar with that tagline. God, what was that?
Yeah, pissing me off. Oh, but when you say that, you already know you failed. Like, yeah, right. Anytime you know, quote something like that, like, yeah, you lost already. I'm sure it's a pile. Like, damn, hopefully somebody in the chat room might know what that was, where it said something like Jason, Freddy, Michael, I don't have nothing on this guy. And it was some cornball horror movie. Watch Nathan probably pull it out. He's like, is it this one?
No. I'm still just looking at ones. It's like looking at the box art just to show off that it'd be kind
of... Grab them. Get a handful of them suckers.
All right. No, I mean, most of these are just like really... Like this one. This one's called Demon Wind. It has since got a Blu-ray release, but as you can
I
see...
I remember seeing that in the video store because it had like that 3D cut.
Oh my God. Hold on. Yeah. Nathan. Would you believe that I was going to pick that out of my pile? I have that downstairs.
See? The prototype X29A. I don't know. There's this Miami Horror. It sucks that there's so much like glare right there, but it's just like really like
never heard of that.
What is that? Yeah.
Clearly, definitely referencing Miami Vice.
Ninja Turf.
Yeah. I love those classic RCA boxes that Nathan just held up there because
the
RCA with the red bordering and the black that always popped to me as a kid.
This movie called Bleeders, but it's got like the blood on here that like moves around, so that's
awesome. Yeah,
Tyler remembers this one, Splatter University.
Oh God, what a piece of shit!
Yeah. This is one
that we actually did rent on VHS and watch. And like,
yeah, this exact tape. Yeah, I went. And then, just for size, the big boxes, we got the Devastator, and it's kind of cool because you know, just open up, bam, there's the tape.
Mm-hmm.
I loved all those big variations of big VHS boxes back then, from MGM to the clamshell cases. God, I mean, it was the FHE. Home video releases of like G.I. Joe, Thundercats, and Transformers. God, it was mind blowing. It was just, not that you could really do anything with it, but just see big VHS boxes. Then you had some of them that were smaller. It was just, the novelty was just, I don't know. It was an impactful to me as a kid. It just helped tell you, like, wow.
And I used to get such a kick out of some of those big clamshell ones that, you know, I always told you, I kept. Every one of my video games are like, you know, the boxes and the games, pristine condition. And I regret so much of what I did with some of my Super Nintendo games. And I don't know if we still got you, Nathan, to hear this one, but all right, well, of course, you know, Sega with the Master System and Genesis, nice hard clamshells. You never had to worry about nothing ripping or anything. Well, my moronic ass, I took some of those black big VHS cases that would hold the tape, almost something similar. Well, probably could be this size. And I remember taking like Super Ghouls and Ghosts, Super Mario World, Metroid, and cutting the one part and then sliding that cardboard into there to have them in a clamshell. And I wrecked the box. And after I did it, it was a year later after I'm looking, I was like, what the hell did I do? I know. And that's the one time like, what did I just do? I've never done this to anything. And I regret it because I was like, I just ruined that. And I still have them in these moronic cases that I made.
What did you do with the rest of the box? You just chuck it?
Well, picture how, you know.
Oh, never mind. I see what you're saying now. You completely deconstructed. I was thinking you just took the cover of it. Oh, man, Joe.
I took the sides and the bottom and then slid it right through into that. And damn, what an idiot. But that's how obsessed I was with cases. I loved them so much, but I wrecked my Super Nintendo ones.
You're off the show. Get out of here.
Just see that. There you go. Continue. But yeah, that's some of mine. So now we got to see some of Tyler's. But God, like you said, I mean, between us, we probably have thousands of VHS tapes, I'm sure. But you can only pick like a certain amount just to have.
I love how this fact that we didn't discuss this, but yet all of us brought VHS tapes. Like, we did not discuss this in advance, and yet. Joe's got a stack. I just grabbed three. I've got more over here, and the rest are all in storage, and I got all my He-Man tapes in the other room. But just how we just like, hey, let me show you this. And, you know, I just think that's pretty cool that we all agreed to that. But I mean, there's so many examples for me of, like, ones over here, like, a lot of them meant something to me, and I would track them down from other video stores. But the three that I grabbed was the one Thundercat tape that I would rent them. This isn't the exact copy, but the Ghost Warrior. I rented this tape, I mean, so many times. It's got Groon the Destroyer on the back, and the box art just fascinated me as a kid to see the ghosts of Jaga and Groon, and there's like these futuristic towers around them. Like, it makes no sense, but God, it looks so cool, you know. And this is one of the few that actually had two episodes on it, and that's one of the reasons I rented it so much, because it had two episodes.
Well, what did they normally just have one per episode, or
just
what?
One? Like, all the FHE like releases, like G.I. Joe and Transformers, all had one episode, and then they have a preview block, like an advertisement cycle of like 2 to 3 minutes of like, get this on from FHE Transformers, these three episodes, G.I. Joe, these three episodes, you know, or whatever. And I remember not this copy, because all these copies are not the exact copies, but going to Walmart in Christiansburg when it was just the standard plain Walmart, when we found it had come out on VHS, and getting Batman, you know,
I love that. Yeah.
The simplicity. And then when he picked it up, see, there's only two pictures to look at on the box as a kid. I was just holding it in my hands and driving all the way home, like just looking like, I can't wait to watch this tonight. Oh my God. I can't wait to watch this tonight. I can't believe we own a copy of Batman. Like, my mom was like, without hesitation, we'll go to Walmart right now and go pick it up. We're like, dog, man.
I agree with you. That symbol, just, it's so damn iconic, and I have the exact tape you do. But I remember just that craze when Batman hit, from the theaters to all the promotional stuff that, Taco Bell or Burger King or wherever the hell it was. But anywhere you go, in hats and shirts, but just that symbol. And I remember the same thing when I got that tape. I was like, this is so cool. And all this is a symbol on the front, but damn, you got so giddy.
It was just that. And that was one of those things too. When you get that movie, and we didn't buy we did have quite a few VHS tapes, but we rented them a hell of a lot more too.
Same here.
And when you get it in hand, and you're looking at the pictures on the back, and you're anxiously awaiting to get home so you can find out what it's about, or you're re-renting it for the millionth time, like we did with so many tapes, and pissed my dad off. And he's like, "Well, I don't know why you guys do this. Like, are we complaining and crying or making noise? No. All right then." You know, it kept us quiet, kept us content. He used to get so mad at me for renting He-Man again, to the point where he would try to make a point to talk me out of renting He-Man. Like, why? He just would bug the shit out of me as a kid. Like, I'm quiet and content. I want to rent The Greatest Adventures. Like, don't you want to rent something else? I guess I just got tired of hearing the music and whatever over and over again. And it was just like, I wasn't bothering anybody. Leave me the hell alone, you know. But then this one here, I grabbed this one because you guys won't be surprised at all. But it threw me a lot as a kid, because I would look at the back of the box and like, neither one of those scenes happened. Like, what? I don't know that. What? Why didn't those happen? And for the most part, I rented this on a double tape, because my pawpaw had Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, and Predator, all on one VHS tape that someone had double taped for him. So when I wanted to watch Predator, we would just borrow it from my pawpaw and watch Predator on the. We had to fast forward through Raiders and Temple of Doom, but I love Temple of Doom, so I'd watch that a lot too. And it just was so cool to watch Predator and knowing I didn't have to go to the video store and rent. I would just borrow from pawpaw, and it was like a free. It's free, and I get to watch Predator. And look on the back there, of course, as a kid, you see that classic CBS Fox logo. There's promo shots of Arnold and the Predator. Like, as a kid, like, neither one of those scenes happened in the movie. And I would just look and look and look, like couldn't figure out what the hell is that? You know, it was just mind blowing to me. And then it would be like years later as a young adult, like, oh, those were promo shots they did for the movie. Had no idea about that though. Mm-hmm. You know, but you'd see stuff like that on a VHS with no explanation. Some of the He-Man tapes would have pictures from other episodes that aren't on the tape you're renting. What the hell's that from? You know, just stuff like that. It would blow your mind because you had no means of solving these mysteries. You know, or there'd be cut scenes from the movie you rented. But that didn't happen. You know, you just like, oh my God, you know, mm-hmm. just drive you nuts. You know, I know I can't be the only one out there, but I got others here that I picked up, like Winnie the Pooh and Digger too. I got all the Marvel or a lot of the solo Spider-Man animated series from 81 and Amazing Friends, Fantastic Four, RoboCop, The Hulk. I got a bunch of those that back in the early 90s, they were re-releasing all those episodes on VHS. You could buy them at Saturday Night Matinee, which was a movie store chain. I don't know if Joe had them in where he lives or not. It was like a chain in malls. Walmart used to carry them for like $10. So I would go and grab one tape and put $5 down on layaway, because that was all I could get from my allowance, and go back the next week and put down the rest of the five so I could get my Spider-Man videotape. It was such a big deal. And to walk out of Walmart empty-handed, I just gave Walmart my $5, and I've got nothing to show for it. I got to wait till next Saturday. It was heartbreaking. But layaway, $10 for layaway. I mean, it might as well have been $100 when I was 6-7 years old putting a $10 VHS tape on layaway.
Did they look at you weird when you did that at all? Or were they just like, it's only $10?
They knew I was a child. You know, I was, you know.
Yeah, you know, so you just went up there just all on your own, no parents up there, nothing. You're like, I want to put this on layaway.
Well, she's like, you know, it's $10. You got, if you want to do it. I remember that was the first time I really learned about how layaway worked. And as a kid, mom was always saying, well, we'll get it and put it on layaway. We'll put it on layaway, like, you know, school clothes and stuff like that. But that VHS tape that Nathan did and I did a commentary for, Revenge of the Green Goblin, that was my first time actually doing layaway, was purchasing that tape. And it was $10. And she told us that there's no limit if you want to, you know. And I said, all right, I'll put $5 down. And she put it behind the counter, put a receipt on there. And mom said, we'll come back the following Saturday with your allowance, and you can pay the rest and take it home. And it was unbelievable, because that VHS tape had a commercial for the Spider-Man Nintendo, Game Gear, and Sega video games, and Game Boy, with this beautiful 3D animation of Spider-Man jumping around and Venom showing up at the end. It's on YouTube. I tried to tag a bunch of people in it. Nobody responded. Bunch of bastards, you know. but it was one of those great, and it has like a commercial of Spider-Man telling kids to vote, you know, and stuff like that too. It was just these great memories, you know.
Sorry.
Well, I think tagged both you guys in it, and Joe was just like,
"Yeah, who cares?
I got to customize shit. Leave me the hell alone, kid."
Man, layaway was a lifesaver.
Like, about video games, you guys would jump on. I guess apparently you guys were too busy, you know.
Well, no, I mean, it was just like when you came over to my house, the Spider-Man game. You're like, "Hey guys, look at this!" And me and Josh, John, we didn't care at all. We're just like, "Yeah, whatever."
No, I'm just like, you guys just hate Spider-Man, pricks.
But layaway was a lifesaver as a kid, man. Yeah. I probably wouldn't have gotten most of the shit that I got for Christmas and birthdays if it wasn't for layaway.
I didn't even know, yeah, because I was going to say the same thing. I didn't know about layaway. I didn't understand the concept, you know, until my parents. Yes, they would say that's how they got a lot of stuff. I just didn't understand what it was. I had no clue what it was. But because I know, like, when we go to the store and, you know, eventually if we had some money and I save some stuff and find some money and I get an action figure or something, or like on a birthday, like that one time, yes, I got $50. I felt like I was a millionaire. But otherwise, everything's, yeah, it was layaway. That was interesting. Or rent, yeah, I guess that's the same thing. I don't know if rent layaways, like, okay, how we got the one VCR was, there was a store, I believe it was Rent-A-Center, I think it was even back then, and we'd, like, you know, I don't know if it was like $10 a week or $10 every 2 weeks you'd pay until you eventually paid off the,
oh man, you know, yeah, but those places
price, yeah,
yeah, like, it sucks because those prices are steep.
Yeah, because if a VCR was $200, in the end, really, you ended up paying $800 for a VCR.
Yeah.
It was,
it was so interesting to look back and see how much VCRs and VHS tapes cost back in the 80s, like, to actually own one. I remember I purchased a Rambo 3 poster magazine, and there's an ad for action movies of Arnold, Stallone, and Chuck Norris films. Some of the new ones, like Predator, which had come out, this was like 88 when this magazine came out. they were asking $80 for a copy of Predator or Delta Force. It was like, Jesus, man. I mean, for brand new Viet, and then Red Sonja was like $50.
Damn, yeah.
It was just, it was mind-blowing to know how much those things cost back then.
Yeah, because some of those were not available for purchase. Like, some tapes that you'd rent, they just weren't for sale. And damn, I wish I could remember what you're saying. That's, oh, that's driving me nuts. There was a particular movie we would rent over and over, at least I knew I did. And I thought it was a martial arts movie, and fuck, I wish I could remember, but it was never for sale.
Revenge of the Ninja?
Damn, I don't know if it was The Last Dragon at the time. There was some movie that in its day you could not buy, and I rented it a lot. And I thought I remembered renting The Last Dragon a lot, but I don't know if that was it. But I remembered seeing something like what you talked about, some kind of weird, bizarre catalog, and it said like $140. Like, $140 for this movie? I was like, I just hope it comes on VHS someday. Still don't know if it ever did. I got it on DVD, but it's just weird. You saying that, I forgot it. So many weird stories of them damn, you know, rental places.
But, you know, I guess we're not too far from that, because when Blu-ray and DVD were introduced, they're asking $40, $50 for a bare-bones DVD when it had just come out, but it's, like, no technology, so therefore you got to pay a lot of money. I remember thinking I paid, like, $40 for a bare-bones Predator Blu-ray when Blu-ray was the new thing, paying $40 for a special edition of Mallrats on DVD because DVD was brand new.
Hell, do you remember when DVD was the new thing and they were just touting that as the most amazing? Like, you're paying $25, $29. Sometimes it was like, get them in the steel case for $50. I was like, oh man, I love Halloween. I bought it here, 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 but I'm not paying $50 for that. And then I look along the same line of where they showed this DVD for the first time, and next to that was this cool ass Halloween box set. It was a VHS with a globe, and I bought that, and I still have it. It was a cool box set. It's like a clear, but then in right at the bottom, you see this globe, and it's like Jamie Lee Curtis looking up, and then Michael Myers is there. When you shake the globe, blood is flying around instead of snowflakes, and in back of that is the tape. But I still have never opened up that box set because it was so damn cool looking.
That's interesting. I've never even remembered that. Or
I'll show you that later. I wish I would have brought it up here. But yeah, later I'll take a picture and I'll put it up on put on my Facebook.
There we go.
Yeah, it's just there's so many cool ass stories of like, see, my dad, he's not much into video games, and I remember we'd go to the one Video Connection, and we'd go looking around. But then before we'd officially rent, they had Cruisin' USA. And we sit down, and he loved playing it because it was a sit-down machine. And you got your gas, you got your brake, you had the steering wheel, and he loved playing Cruisin' USA. So we used to go in there just to play Cruisin' USA a lot, and then rent, and then leave. But I don't know if your parents have ever gotten anything like that at the stores, but it was the coolest thing to see my dad, who hates video games, playing that game.
Yeah, all the stores I went to never had anything like that where they would have an arcade machine. It was mostly just like, here's a gumball machine. That was about the extent of it. I don't really remember.
Or they sell candy or like popcorn that you could buy and take home.
Not even any stand-ups like of maybe like a Street Fighter or Virtua Fighter, like, you know, a smaller cat. Oh, no. Oh,
okay. No, most of it, because a lot of the ones that Nathan had, like let's take two thumbs up video. We also had that in Fairlawn where I lived. You know, it was just like a big open video store. All the videos were in clear clamshell boxes. They'd have posters in the window of like latest movies that had just come out. That's why I remember seeing Jason Goes to Hell, you know, on the like coming soon on VHS, and just like looking at it and thinking, Jason Goes to blank. Because I was like, I can't say hell, it's a bad word. And just looking at the snake crawling through the mask and thinking,
yeah,
oh, man, what a scary movie that is. And I remember seeing the Night of the Living Dead remake on display, which is a video, popcorn, a bunch of other, you know, horror movies. And that's where I just Return to Swamp Thing for the first time. And that was the first video store I'd gone to that didn't have any He-Man cartoons or any of the other cartoons that, like, from G.I. Joe, She-Ra, Thundercats.
Oh, really?
They didn't have any of that stuff. It was the only thing, they had the He-Man live-action movie. But by that point, I'd had a double-taped copy of the live-action movie that I got, worked my mom, made me a copy of, and made me a copy of Red Sonja. So I didn't have to rent those as much anymore because I had my own copy at home to watch and drive my parents crazy with both of those. But most of the stores around here pretty much were just that had standees of you know, movies that have. I remember seeing like posters for like Surf Ninjas, and they had like a big like shack-sized poster of Blue Chips. and it was like a roller of like Nick Nolte standing in front of Shaq and just seeing how tall Shaq was. I remember seeing that in the video store.
Don't you wish you could have got those somehow before they closed all the posters and stuff? I used to love it just like you. Love seeing all the horror stuff, things with Friday the 13th, a bunch of Toxic Avengers from all the different ones they had of that as well. But they did. They had stand-ups, and I remember always in bins, right in the back, was the Toxic Avenger, big stand-up of him with his mop. And I always wanted that, but you couldn't, you know, just say, can I have that? You know, it's just – damn.
And you know, Stafford, get that. And I like how Joe mentioned Toxic Crusader or Toxic Avenger, excuse me, because when the toys came out and the cartoon and everything, I got the Toxie figure and then went to the video store, the two thumbs up video, and I saw the third one on the shelf. That was like kind of near where like the newer videos had been released, and it'd been out for a while though, for whatever reason. But I was like, there's a Toxie movie? And we get home within the first 5 minutes, he's in there tearing people apart and shoves a mop through a guy's head and spitting up blood. Yes. And my dad said, that does it, and turned it right off. I'm like, I didn't know. I had no idea that this toxin was going to be tearing people's limbs and shoving mops in their heads. And like,
isn't that amazing how that property got turned into an animated kids show?
That's so weird.
Because I love it. I love it, though. It's just another testament of the balls and grit that you can turn anything and make it a kids-friendly toy line / cartoon.
It is. It's bizarre because that's the thing. I mean, I remember I was, of course, you know, the movies came first and they were just horrific. And just seeing Melvin being turned into the Toxic Avenger, and you're seeing so much gross stuff. And of course, you're seeing the nudity as a kid. That's why I love them damn movies. But you've seen this crazy horror stuff. And then eventually here came a cartoon. And I was like, for me, when I first seen the cartoon, I was like, saying that Toxic Avenger, you know, but I know there was kids who seen that first, and then when they seen, like how Tyler said, the movie, I like it, what the hell's going on? Because it's a bizarre, you know, different way to see how one perspective and another perspective. Hell, even when I made a while back the Toxic Avenger into a vintage Masters of the Universe figure, I sat there, made the figure, put it up, I got more people commenting saying, man, I love Toxic Crusaders than saying, yeah, I love the Toxic Avenger. They didn't realize I based it off of a movie, and they're all quoting the cartoon. I was like, well, you know, what the hell?
I kind of find it hard to believe at this point that how would you not know that there was, you know, four films and or at least three when the cartoon came out and all that stuff. It just kind of, how could you not know that? But then again, too, you know, some of it's alluded, but I almost feel like that's if you're like us. And you love all this pop culture stuff, the 80s and 90s. Like, even if you're not a fan of the Toxic Avenger franchise or the character or the cartoon, it's like you should be like aware of it. Even though it's like trauma, it's an independent film company. They make crazy, bizarre, trashy films with nudity and excessive, ridiculous, silly gore. But you ought to be like aware of like Tromeo and Juliet and Surf Notches and stuff like
that. Man, I remember renting Tromeo and Juliet because Joe got to talking about how with some of the people that operated these stores, you would become kind of friendly with them and have all these conversations. So I was renting so much there that, and the owners knew my parents because we were there quite often. So I remember specifically grabbing Tromeo and Juliet, Showgirls, Striptease, and Howard Stern's Private Parts. And
how old were you?
How old were you?
12, 13, something like that.
Did they let you in the
trip? You had some balls, man. I couldn't have done that in front of my dad. Not with my mom.
No, my parents weren't with me because I walked down the street over there to where it was in that little plaza, and I put him on the counter, and he was like, are your parents okay with this? I'm like, yeah, it's fine. He's like, okay.
If they're okay with Bustin' Breasts, you know, Volume 7.
Oh,
they're okay.
God.
Like, yeah.
It's like that episode of South Park when Kenny goes in to buy, like, you know, abortion pills. And it's like, are you sure you're old enough for this kid? And Kenny hands him, like, this note written in crayon. He's wearing a girl's wig. Okay, then. Well, that'll be cash or charge.
I mean, at least he asked, right? But I was like, yeah, they're fine with it. And then... Wow. Then brought it there and was like, John, you gotta come stay over this weekend. I rented all these movies. He's like, what'd you rent? I was like, this. All right, yeah. So we spent the weekend.
God, man, I can't believe you got away with that. I only had one video store clerk question if this was for me or not. And when Hot Shots Part Deux came out, my babysitter's husband took me to the video store. I'm like, oh, Hot Shots is out. And when we go up to the counter, she looks at him and goes, are you renting this for him? He goes, well, yeah. And like, I didn't. why. And we got, and I wasn't aware of like the Basic Instinct parody that was in it. And of course, the is so tame. But when we're watching her buck on Charlie Sheen and stuff, my dad lost his shit. Because we all sat down with my little brother, my mom, and him to watch this parody of Rambo. And when she's like, you know, acting like she's riding him good and hard, slinging her head back, my dad just got lost his mind, got up. He might as well just punch the stop button. And just was so mad. And I'm thinking like, oh my God.
This happened to you. This happened to you so much as a kid.
No, and Dad, no.
Because he just did not know how to handle it. But when we're watching Predator and watching Hawkins get his stomach slit open, Billy's spine being torn out, that's a good movie, ain't it, boy? You know, it's just, and watching the rest of the Titans, Medusa's head being chopped off and held up to win the day against the Kraken. No problem with that.
But the thought of sex, huh? But they didn't even show nothing. Like
but that's the thing. It was implied. I mean, I'm watching a woman, like, by this point, I had seen moments of sex in movies from like movies like Dark Age, which was like an Australian alligator movie. There's a sex scene in that and various other things. And my dad just never knew how to handle if, you know, breasts popped up or certain. I mean, it was never a consistency because when you'd watch an Arnold movie, like when we watched Terminator 2 of my pawpaw's house, it was like the big because it just came out of VHS. And my dad said, "All right, Tyler, I'm gonna let you watch it, but just don't repeat the language you're hearing it." "Yes, sir." And no big deal. But when we're watching Cyborg and, you know, the villain holds up, Bender holds up a severed head, "Turn it off!" We watch Bloodsport Kickboxer. Kickboxers got strippers with stars on their nipples. All right, well, just fast forward to this. No big deal. You know, I don't understand this.
Poor Tyler.
And when we watch Double Impact, and Van Damme yells out, "Motherfucker!" Dad says, "Tyler, turn it off!"
God, poor Tyler. His life is in some movie. This is crazy. No, you know, anytime there was any nudity that stuff when I was growing up, it wasn't an issue. I mean, you know, like I said, my parents, they really didn't. I mean, of course, they would say, "Don't repeat this, don't do this." But if there was nudity, well, there was nudity. Like in the horror movie.
I could see your dad just sitting there. It's like, "Joe, look at those titties. Those are some nice titties."
Check out them titties, Joe. Like, titties, titties. Well, that's the thing. Every horror movie we ever went to see, and you know, every Friday the 13th except part 6, they all had breasts. It's like, so it was just expected. So it's like, I didn't care. Like Deathstalkers, I think that's the reason I used to get so excited of renting the Deathstalkers. I didn't give two shits about what was happening with any horror, I mean, with any sword and sorcery. I was like, I know they're going to show some nudity, and they show plenty of it.
That's a lot of nudity in those movies. Like, I just overload.
And it was, and that's the thing, the covers is what drew you into it, because they have these really amazing looking painted pieces, like, damn, this looks awesome, because you know how it was, we're all about sword and sorcery, Conan, He-Man, all that stuff, but then when you started watching, like, whoa, hey, and then, you know, when my dad would go to work, and like, yeah, we gotta return it, you know, the next night, okay, and I get home from school, I'm like, I'm gonna pop that in a couple more times and catch these scenes before he gets home from work, it's like, oh, damn.
We didn't make it too far into those Deathstalker films.
Yeah, I think there was like 4. I couldn't remember if they made more than 4, but I knew there was at least 4 of them, I think. And yeah, shit for plot and story. But yeah, if you were looking for some stuff as a kid, you know, some TNA, you got plenty of that. And I'm sure Nathan probably rented and seen them too. I'm sure.
No, honestly, didn't really watch Deathstalker until I was much older. For me, around that age, like teenage, early years, obviously, my parents never had any problem with anything. Anytime there was nudity, and I brought it up before, like my dad would just cover my eyes. But I would always, because he obviously didn't know that it was coming in some instances. Like, I want to say it was like Lethal Weapon at the beginning.
The naked prostitute.
Yeah. I remember that vividly because I caught like a glimpse and he was just like, "Nope, don't look at this yet," but I can still hear everything. Have I told the story on the show about True Lies?
I'm not sure.
And the infamous Jamie Lee Curtis dancing scene.
I don't. You did, no, because that was one hell of a hot scene. That dancing, good God.
I'm not a fan for one with slick back hair, but she made it pretty hot.
That was the first time. And why am I telling this to the whole world? This was the first time that I got like a boner that I can remember. Look at Joe.
I got it. Like he's going to spit up in his mask.
I just took a sip. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so this scene's going on, and I just like, I'm aroused by it. I think what, Tyler, we were 9? I think when True Lies came out on
about that, yeah.
All right. So my dad and I are watching this together, by the way.
He looks and, over you.
Yeah. No, oh no, I look at my dad and God, this is, I feel like my face is getting red here. It's gonna look like Joe's mask here in a second. So anyway, when I was a kid, I always referred to my penis as a dinger. And I look at my dad and I was like, my dinger's hard. And he just started basically doing what you're doing right now, just like cracked up dying laughing.
Only your dad would respond that way. God, I wish my dad had reacted that way.
My dinger.
But if I just said, you know, my crunch is hard. That does it.
He doesn't know. It's like, what the hell? My dinger.
Yep. There we go. It's out there for the whole world now. Everybody knows this. This is,
oh, this is gonna Giannis, you gotta make some Photoshop my dingers hard and show
Yeah,
like the critics say, it'll make your dinger hard.
Obvious. So there you go. My dad didn't really care about the sex scenes, and like Tyler's dad did. He never made me shut the tapes off, anything like that. So that was never an issue. I'm sure my mom probably didn't enjoy some of the movies that I would sit and watch with them, but it was never a thing where it's like, hey, leave the room or we're turning this off. I think if they knew that it was going to be kind of bad, then they would just make me stay in my room. Joe, you all right over there?
I just can't stop. That is going to be the craziest shit I've ever heard. I couldn't imagine being a kid just like saying, hey, Dad, my dinger is hard. What the hell?
I didn't understand like what really was happening. You know? I was just like, I'm sure my dad was just like, that a boy.
Yeah, that's my boy.
Plus, probably hand years, you a beer after that.
Nine years old, right? Get you a beer. Like, all right. That is, that was pretty good, Nathan. That was, God damn it.
Where do we go from here?
I don't have a clue. I don't know. I don't even want to tell a story because it's just like the impact of just.
Oh, well, I like that though, because I feel like most guys around our age or older, you know, you didn't have access to pornography or nudie mag. Not everybody did. I certainly didn't have access to, like, you know, Hustler or Playboy and stuff like that. So the only way you could see a naked woman is by chance in an action movie or a horror movie. You know, a naked woman does pop up, and you know, it's, that was like your gateway of, like, you know, when you're like, God, there's like this one brief scene of some woman moaning. Well, that's all I've got. So I'll just use that, you know, or something like that. You're just desperate for anything, whereas, you know, you don't have the access or luxury. Because I remember the fact that you rented Showgirls makes me think my dad renting Showgirls and telling me he didn't know what it was about. And when the movie came out, I knew what it was, what it was rated. And knowing my dad would walk into the video store like, there's a pretty girl in there, Showgirls. I'll check this out. And he was just like, yeah, it was practically a porno. And I just looked at him like, how the hell did you not know that, Dad? I was dumbfounded on his reactions to a lot of that stuff. American Psycho, when he rented that, yeah, it was practically a porno. It was just,
don't stare at it, eat it.
Yeah, I guess there's no way, he would ever let you see Deathstalkers then, because, that was...
Well, we rented, I think, the second one. I can't remember which one we rented. We didn't get too far into it because of the nudity, and, of course, he turns it off. And You know, it just... even to this day, like, my dad is completely, like, he's... I remember he wanted to watch Basic Instinct, and he was like, I don't remember that being that much sex. And I'm like, Dad, that's what the movie's known for. And I said, you must have just kept watching it on TV, because he was all like dumbfounded that there was so much sex. I'm like, God, Dad. And
I could just see him coming over now and you're watching a movie. He's like, turn it off.
No, even to this day, like when we watch Predator 2 and you've got the Cuban like sex scene with the drug lord and the girl's like riding on him good and hard. I know it's coming. So I'll just like, I got to go to the bathroom, because I'm not going to sit here and watch this girl buck on this Cuban drug lord. And my dad will just sit there quietly and just watch. And I'm thinking, like, I wonder if by this point my dad's just given up the whole charade of saying, like, and just, and is enjoying what he's saying there, you know? I just like I it, and I remember we were in a disclosure with Michael Douglas and Demi Moore because I was going back through Michael Douglas's like back catalog of films at that time, and the scene where she's blowing him, and, it did, and I'm watching it with my mom and my brother because I didn't know it was going to be this elaborate.
Great family and, movie, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but just because my mom liked Michael Douglas, so my brother was intrigued by the movie, and we're watching it, and the blowjob scene is going on and on and on. So I'm like, oh my god! And like I. All right, and I just fast forward. I'm not gonna sit and watch Michael Douglas get a blowjob from Demi Moore with my mom. You know, my brother's one thing. We're like, we could like, all right, yeah, I wish it was me too, but with my mom, no, 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 no. But we did have this trade off though. We'd win a Van Damme movie. If Van Damme showed his ass, that would be the all right, mom. We'll let you know when his ass shows up, and she'd come walking in when his ass would show in Universal Soldier or Lionheart, and she had no problem with that. Just fast forward through all the bad stuff, like don't repeat the language, and we tell her when. We had a nice trade, you know, trade balances there.
I could see that. It's like, all right, mom, this one shows up. And she looks at him. She's like, all right, well, I got to go now.
Yeah.
She goes in the bedroom, start hearing weird noises. Mom, what's going on? Don't worry about it.
Quiet, boy. Turn that video off. You know, I just, you know, there was, it just makes me appreciate, you know, these movies even more when I was denied it so many times where I have to put up with the fight of like trying to rent blood. Sport, knowing rent it 3 times. I was like, it's so violent though. But like, I've rented it before. You had no problem with it then. Why do you have a problem now? Unless you let me rent Bordello blood.
This is like something I can see Tyler just laying on the couch, just talking to some therapist one day, just being like, and then he wouldn't let me see this. Why?
Right.
No, that
and
has
I,
to,
and I talked about my mom, and she just laughs her ass off about all this stuff because she was there to see my dad blow up about a lot of it, you know. And I think some if I would tell my dad now, I would say it, but I'd laugh because it is funny to talk about. As a kid, it was like, you know, Jesus Christ, and you just want to get up and run out of the room so you don't get yelled at, as if like it was your fault for making the boob show up, you know. Sure. But it's just fun to think about, laugh at. I actually talked to my mom about it last year. I don't know how the subject came up, but I was just doing my impressions of my dad freaking out, and she was just laughing because she knew that's how he was. He just did not know how to handle movies and. You know, my brother was oblivious. He could give two shits about it. I remember I'll elaborate on this. After Columbine happened, my brother and I were really getting into horror movies and stuff like that. And I remember Derek was renting Evil Dead because we became big fans of Army of Darkness. So we were renting that a lot. And we came across Evil Dead with like ash on the cover. It wasn't like the traditional like girl holding her hand up and everything. And Derek was watching it a lot. Dad came to me quietly. I'm worried about your brother. He's watching that movie an awful lot. And he was just thinking that it was going to inflict his mind and he was going to go off. And I'm like, Dad, he's fine. And then we were talking about RoboCop in the car one day, talking about how awesome it was because we'd seen it several times. Dad even okayed it for me in sixth grade to rent it. He was with me. So we're in the car. This is like a couple of, like 2 years later. And we're talking about the scene where RoboCop stabs Clarence Bodiger in the neck. And I'm in the back seat or I'm in the front seat there. In the back, we're talking about that. And it's like, oh, it's so awesome when he stabs him in the neck and the blood flies out. And Dad goes, that does it. You guys aren't watching that movie anymore.
I because he's thinking, I imagine your dad watched that.
Into like a bunch of trench coat killers.
Well, no, I bet I can just see your dad too stumbling across that episode of, or kind of like that season of Home Improvement where the youngest kid starts like dressing up like all goth and stuff and they don't understand it at all.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Which never happened with me or my brother. We still love comics, collecting toys, watching cartoons.
I understand his concern, you know? But still, that just seems, man, you just had like a traumatized childhood and young adulthood when it came to violent and nudie movies. Speaking of nudie movies, I know video stores also differed store to store by their porn selection. I brought up with Frank's video, they didn't have a back room. It was basically you walked in the door, you had the rest of the store, but over there in the right corner, they had like this shitty little just fenced in little corner, and you go in and there's just like this black book and you flip through it and I'm assuming that it just had like the covers. Maybe they like cut it out like Joe did with his Nintendo games and just put them in little sleeves and you're just flipping through this book and it's like, all right, well, go up there, because there was one time I walked in and I walked up to it. My dad caught me just in time, right as I'm touching the binder to open it up. And he's like, "No, we're not looking at that." And I was like, "Well, I didn't know what was." I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, no, we're not doing that."
Yeah, ours
fingers hard.
No, ours. There was a limit, of course. Like,
and I said, your dad's like,
no, but yeah, when we see, like I said, when I see boobs in movies, you know, my parents, you know, they don't care. But no, as for porn, yeah, that was obviously no. You're not going to be looking at that section. There was beyond the one video connection. The other video connection we had, it literally was like a section off area. There was not two floors. You walk in, and over to the left and towards the back, it was a black curtain, and you had to walk through there, and you had to be an adult to go to the porn section. And the other at Ben's, that's when my mom would say, "No, Joe, you go this way," because I used to try to sneak to this one corner, because one time I started walking, I seen it by accident. She said, "You don't go that way." Ben, since it was, you know, tropical fish and they didn't have all this, you know, area to border off stuff, you'd go in, there was all the movies, but then when you go around the one corner and keep coming all the way to the back, there was that section I seen. And sometimes if I'd walk a little, "You don't go that way, Joe." Okay, because the one time I seen by accident, oh man, that's all I want to do is keep walking over there to catch that section just to look at the backs of them. Like, oh my God, what? Because I was like, I ain't seen this shit in a movie before. So you were trying to see it. So yeah, pretty much that was it. Yeah, Ben's had it that way, video connection off to the side. And as for Blockbuster Video, I'll be honest, I don't know if they had any. They didn't have one.
Okay. No.
All right, I didn't think so. I was like, I thought I seen everything in Blockbuster. Hell, that was my, believe it or not, go-to place for Nintendo 64. It was the one video game system I never did own. I owned all the others, but I just, I never owned it. So I would go there with my buddy, and we'd play Mario Kart. And God, it was like going to an arcade. And they didn't get upset because they knew we'd always rent something, but we'd be there playing almost 2 hours Mario Kart. It was an obsession. Anytime we could go out, it was like our way of going to the arcade, but went to Blockbuster Video and played some Mario Kart. Love that damn game. I don't know if you guys had kiosks too to play free stuff, but
I honestly, when it came to the mom and pop chains, I never remember any kiosks. And even when we started to get some of the chains in there, I don't remember there being anything set up in those regards. I do remember, Joe, Tyler, you guys probably remember this too, that you could actually, we talked about renting camcorders, but you could also rent game systems. So that was kind of neat. I never did that because it was always so expensive, but it was neat that you could do that. But I just can't imagine what the stories would be with that, because even as DVDs started showing up, people just don't know how to take care of shit. Like, you're renting it for a night or two. How the hell does this just get like scratched and trashed? I don't understand, because it happens that way with Redbox now. And that's what I hate, that it's, as far as renting stuff goes, that's all we have. So you go, here's a box. And yeah, you can flip through and read the synopsis, which there's many times that I've shown up and I'm like, I just want to rent this crap ass movie to get drunk and watch. And there's some person just standing there flipping through every single movie and reading all about it. I'm like, how do you, oh God. So that's one thing I miss about the video stores, aside from just the general nostalgia. I do miss going in there, walking around, looking at the box art, because that's how most of these shitty movies were seen by a lot of people. Just Deathstalker. Perfect example that draws you in. The movies are trash, but you see that artwork and you're like, oh yeah, what's this? And then you rent it. And that's how a lot of that stuff just became popular. I miss that aspect of, let's go out here to the Philippines, shoot a cheap ass movie that's basically a ripoff of this and put it on video and we'll make tons of money. I miss that renegade feeling, and just all of that's gone now. It's all gone. I mean, yes, you can find shit on the internet, but just it's gone.
Well, yeah. Plus the excitement and journey of, like, because it was very rare we did not go on the weekends, because it was a religious thing almost that we would go either to Beyond Video or King Video, and then eventually Two Thumbs Up Video, and then back to King Video. I mean, so much to where my parents were like, they decided we're going to go to the one in Blacksburg just to change things up, or we're going to go to this one just to change things up. Like, they're making conscious effort, like, they know we're going to go. They know we want to go. And we'd go on Saturday. And get our movies, you know, for the weekend and take them back on Monday. Or
that was your weekend, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we talked about renting video games. If you got a bad one, I mean, that was still your weekend.
It's a gamble, but that was part of it. You had, even if it's a game like, you know, when you're new to it, when we got your Nintendo, you don't know what's good. So you just, and I didn't have Nintendo Power or anything like that. It was just looking at it. Did it look cool? And you take that gamble, just like with the movie that you think, that looks pretty cool, I'll rent that. And that was part of that gamble. Like, you didn't know if it was going to be good or not because you didn't have internet. You didn't have reviews for every movie and go look at it, whether it's suitable, how much nudity is in it or whatever. You know, so that was part of the excitement of, like, I'm going to give this a shot. Or, you know, or for, like, new releases, you know, a lot of times movies were so popular, like, you would go in, like, oh my, and because some of them had just the box. And like Joe said, the clear case, most of the ones I went to had a solid black case, like Beyond Video, like it was just solid black with a label, and you would take the empty box and they would put the tape in it for you. But you'd have to find that empty box behind the VHS tape to, like, oh man, Mortal Kombat, they've got it. There's one copy left. You know, just that, or we used to call ahead to King Video and ask him, do you have any copies of Eraserhead? Yes, we've got two copies left. Can you hold it? We're going to come in and pick it up later today. And I call my mom at work. I got a copy of Eraserhead Reserve. Can you go by and pick it up for me? Sure thing.
Beyond
Video had was just like that.
Yeah. This is for a movie called Evil Altar. I don't even know what the hell that is.
Wow.
Was that for Pete Creek?
Yeah, well, it still has the Showtime Video logo on it. Yeah,
I have to tell Joe this because when Nathan showed me this video store, when we really started hanging out and I stayed the night at his house for the first time, and he takes me to this video store, which is down the street from where he lives. We walked to it, I think.
Okay.
Yep.
And to think this is when DVD was in full force. Hollywood Video was still around. I think Blockbuster was still around too. But they were weeding out VHS tapes and DVD was taking over. And for this store to be packed full of VHS tapes in the year 2001, 2002 of He-Man, G.I. Joe, Thundercats, She-Ra, Transformers, Fairy Tale Theater, all the classic horror movies like Alligator that you can think of, obscure action movies, all the whole video store, and it had this musty smell. They had old WWF, WCW pay-per-views.
That musty smell was probably the asbestos or something.
It was. I wish you could put that magical odor in a bottle and just, you know, it was magical. And just to know that there was this time capsule of these movies still around, and I lost my shit. I rented a Ninja Turtles cartoon, The Revenge of Cobra, WWF Survivor Series 1989, and a couple of other things. And I was just, and me and Nathan just sat and watched all these cartoons. Like, you gotta watch this, man. Check out this shit. You know, it was. I could not, and we would just go over there and rent all the crummiest horror movies you could think of and just laugh at them at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then they would sell them to you if you wanted to buy them. So I bought a lot of like VHS tapes from them for like $1, $5 if you offered it to them as DVD was becoming more prominent. Oh, it was, and they still had like the black case. Oh, God, it makes my nipples hard.
No, you know, I love hearing your stories, both of what you guys are saying, because that's part of it that's kind of sad is it was the experience of it all too. You know, not just going to rent it, but you're renting with your buddy or your family. And then sometimes that might lead to right next door was an ice cream shop. Or next door might have been the Chinese or the pizza place.
Or pizza.
So that's, I mean, you're going home, you're having pizza, you're having Chinese, you're having ice cream, you're having something, and you're watching a movie with your family or your friends. You get to hang out and just be with them. And that's, like you said, it's different now. It's like everything, oh, you can just download a movie. Or, you know, people don't really like interacting or going places. It's like how we said the arcade, just killing off the arcade in some places or bringing back cool retro arcades. But otherwise, it used to be fun. You go with your buddies or you'd meet a complete stranger. Sometimes, hey, you would, like you said, can I join in for the X-Men? And you're all, you know, you're both playing the X-Men. And maybe
love that camaraderie when you team up with a total stranger. Come on, we're going to kick Magneto's ass together. And then we'll pick up those two hot chicks. You know, never would happen.
I don't understand his fascination.
They used to advertise to kids that if you built model cars or you did this or you did that, they always depict a young kid like a model car and two girls flirting all over him or something like that. I would see stuff like that. Or in, like in the episode of Doug, when Skeeter says, hey guys, he's going to go for the record. So all the boys and girls gather around. Like you see stuff, like in The Wizard, when Luke's just like, you know, using the power glove. It looks like it would draw boys and girls to your attention.
I just don't know why you're just like, yeah, this hot chick's just going to be watching me play and beat this guy. It's like, no.
Now the way girls
and maybe their, back then that's just what I would, of course, you know, you just didn't see many girls frequent the arcades anyway.
Yeah.
But in my mind, if anything, you know, I remember two guys watching me play Mortal Kombat 2, and I'm playing as Jax and I'm kicking ass, and they're like, "Damn!" Like they're just giving me providing commentary while I'm playing. I'm like, "That's right, guys, I'm pretty badass as Jax in my mind." You know, yeah. But they were older than me and watching, and like it was just cool to get that kind of bravado when you're playing an arcade game like that. And, you know, total strangers, and then some prick comes by who's clearly like a high school college kid, comes in, kicks your ass, and takes over the game, son of a bitch.
Yo, those are the things. You know? You had the good experiences where you could team up with people, then you had the ones where you were just sitting there trying to have fun, and I used to always do with X-Men versus Street Fighter. I love picking Wolverine with Ken or Wolverine with Storm, because everybody thought, well, Storm, she sucks. You can't really play with her. Storm could kick some ass if you know how to use her. In X-Men vs. Street Fighter, she will beat some ass. Especially when, you know, there was a delay when you do a super move, and then, you know, most characters, then they come back down. Well, with Storm, I used to throw people off because I'd get her into the mode where she's flying, and I'd do that, you know, lightning storm, boom. And if they were lucky enough to block, they thought, oh, now I'm going to get her. They'd come in for something, but I could do it immediately again because she was flying already, and I'd blast them. They get so pissed, but I remember there was either the people they were cool with, or here came the dick, and you know who he was. He'd walk up, you're playing by yourself, puts four quarters down, bling, it just joins right in without saying, can I join? I'm like, here we fucking go. The ass that wants to join in without asking, and then you beat him. And then again, and again, after his four quarters, he'd go get more, or he'd just leave and be pissed. But those are the ones I hated.
But see, Joe, you're always combative, and you beat them, and they would leave, whereas Tyler would get his ass kicked. And then he'd walk away in shame, and then the hot chick would just come up and put her arm around his arm while he's still playing. It's like, yeah, that's right. And Ty was like, oh, man.
Oh, kick your ass, man.
I think the only time I ever had a girl look at me playing anything, I remember, was playing a pinball game. I was playing pinball, out of all things. She's like, wow, you're really good. I was thanks. It was at a lunch break when I used to work at Software, et cetera, at the mall. That's the only time I had somebody actually look at me of any interest, was playing pinball, out of all things. But no, when I played any video games, the girls weren't usually like, ooh, ah, or freaking out. Or it would have been nice, like Tyler said, like, damn, you're real good with that joystick. I'm like, yeah, I got another joystick I can show you. But, you know, that shit never happened. Would have been a great thing if it happened, but...
I'm picturing like little Joe with his mask saying, you, right here, as he's playing the X-Men arcade, you know, just, you know, give it up. Otherwise, I'll steal your notebook, put it in the bathroom or something.
Throw it in the toilet, and they find it wrinkled a month later or something.
I saw it in stains, and...
No, but I miss the experiences. You're right. Those were so fun.
It's weird to think about, you know, how people reflect back on, like, 50s. And when you think of, like, the restaurants and the poodle skirts, and they're always just like, oh, yeah, simpler times, blah, 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 simpler times. Things were cheaper. And here we are looking back on things like this, simpler times, things were cheaper. And it's just, it's funny to... I never, when I was a kid, I always looked at that as like, oh, well, whatever. But now it's like that's happened to us.
It has. And we've had
those simple times that are just like, they just don't exist. And granted, there are video stores that still exist in certain areas. Like Pete Creek was actually still going up until a couple years ago. So,
yeah.
And they have since like ceased operation, but not before Tyler and I went in there and bought a shitload of the tapes that they had.
Yeah. Now, I can ask you something, Nathan, because it is sad, but, you know, it's something that I can see right now, especially, you know, with my nieces and nephews and just many of the kids around here, and plus how things are. I feel bad for them because they're not really going to have – now, like you said, we used to – you know, how we talk about our parents, wow, they're talking about these stories, and then now we're doing it. I don't see them having these stories. How can they ever say, hey, I remember going here to do this with my friends to do this? They're going to reflect on, I remember having my tablet, and I would play, and I would be in my house and walk – they don't get to have these experiences. It's so damn sad. I feel so bad for them.
I think it ends with us. I really do.
It does.
I think all that, all the stuff that we talk about of, like, you know, everything is so accessible now. Kids today, teenagers, they don't have to leave their house, whereas we had to leave. You know, we couldn't order online. If you did order something that took a while, you'd have to go to, like, the Sears catalog or go to Montgomery Ward or something like that.
Yeah,
you had to
leave
the house to obtain this stuff. You had to search. You had to journey around from video store to video store, toy store to toy store. You know, everything's so accessible now, you know, within the last, you know, what, 10, 20, 15 years, you know, you don't have to dig too much for it. But for us, I think, you know, the joy of going to the arcade, you've got $5 to play around with and that's it. Or the video store, you're hoping to God they've got Mortal Kombat 3 to rent for Super Nintendo, but they've only got two copies. Oh, they're out. I got to wait till next weekend for when we come back.
And then there was always that dick that just kept renting it and renting it and renting it.
Yeah.
And you would never get a chance. God, there were so many times that I'd be like, I wanted this game. And it was just constantly out. And I went and asked them one day. I was like, every time I'm here, this game is just gone. They're like, yeah, the same person keeps like renting it over and over. They'll come back and just re-rent it and just go back out the door. I'm like, are you kidding me?
See, but that kind of disappointment, though, you know, it dies with us. We know what that's like when you want something that they have, but you can't have it right now. Like, it's not that accessible. Now you can stream anything you want online. You can you use simulators and play any arcade or classic video game you want online. You could do it on your iPad or whatever. But back then, it was make or break. And you may not have access to go to the video store every day. Like, for us, it was either on a Friday or a Saturday. And as we got older, on during the week, you know, Dad would take us more frequently during the week and stuff like that. But when you're a lot younger, it's one day to bring your joy for the weekend and your video game, and that's it. And it just, you were so appreciative, because if it was great, you savored it, and you know, you didn't want to take it back to get late fees and something. And it was just there was so much more to it, and I'm very grateful.
You're right. Yeah. And I'm grateful too, because you're right. You really appreciated what you had. It's sad to see that you're right. Nowadays, things are accessible within seconds. Like, they can download and they could have hundreds of games they could choose from. When we were growing up, you had the one game you played, whether you rented or bought it, and then you'd play it until you beat it. But it's not like nowadays, like, oh, I'm going to try to play some of this Final Fight, Street Fighter, Sonic the Hedgehog, and I really don't like it. Let me go to this game. It's like within clicks, their mind, they have no attention span to focus on one thing. It's weird. Like, even with video games, when you guys talk about renting, I just remembered, I didn't have much of renting experience with video games, because I would, you know, cut the grass, and I would do, doing the sweeping, vacuuming in the house, and I get $5 allowance a week. Also, within that, I'd get my money for lunch, but I would only spend 40 cents for a bag of chips for lunch every day. That's all I'd eat.
So Joe hasn't changed.
Well, yeah, Joe hasn't changed. I'd get that. You get $1.40 for lunch, but I only spent 40 cents on a bag of chips. And if my buddies would sometimes...
It's like Joe's still getting his frozen burritos when he's like age like 15, 14, and... I got a quart for this and $2 for this and 35 cents for this.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing he's getting at is he's putting back that money, and then he would buy games, because I did that too in high school. I started saving my money. That's how I bought like a handful of PlayStation 2 games.
Strategy. You're right. Yeah. So I had 5 for allowance, then $5 that I would get because of my food. So that it's $10 a week, $40 by the end of the month. I could buy a game every month. And my buddies, like I said, beyond when I'd have my chips, they'd always like give me some of their food so I had some more food to eat, you know. So it's not like I was really starving in school, because I would bum them, take
just bumming off everybody else.
Well, I did. I was like, can I have a couple of your fries or something? And they usually didn't care.
Can I have your hamburger? Can I have your dessert?
Can I?
What are you doing? I'm saving up to buy Mortal Kombat 2.
But I did see it.
They're giving the Joe's charity for noble cause. You know,
see?
Mortal Kombat 2.
But I did. I saved up and always to buy a game that I knew would be something I'd really love. But occasionally there was the game you'd buy that when you beat it, it kind of sat there and it was one you really didn't revisit. And after that happened a couple times, I remember my dad would say, why don't you just rent some of these things? Then you'd know if you'd like it or you'd hate it. And that way you wouldn't waste your money. And that's something I started doing finally. I was like, some of these. So I remember I'd, you know, rent like Super Mario RPG, which that was so damn good that, you know, I played it through the weekend and beat it, but I was like, I'm not going to spend $70 on this game now, because that was a whopper back then. I think it was $69.99. So I got the beat. I was like, good, I saved money. But then there was occasionally a game would suck, I never buy it, but if it was the one I really liked, I was like, now I have to buy this game, I loved it too much. Sitting there, if you're playing something like Contra 3, I'm like, oh, okay, now I got to play this. I can't rent this no more. I got to buy Contra 3. This game is too fun. It's a game you can revisit over and over. But, yeah, that was my experience with, I guess, renting, because, I'd buy them and usually beat them quick, but then rent to see if you liked it. And, yeah, and especially if there was one that was too expensive, you could save money. And then you wish you would have it, because a lot are worth money. Like Chrono Trigger, that goddamn game. God, that's worth a lot of money now. And it's a great game. I don't know if either you play Chrono Trigger, but that was
With Chrono Trigger, that was going to my friend Josh's house. His cousin had gotten it and let him borrow it. And yeah, we played through that entire weekend. I would just kind of leave and come back. Oh, where are you at in the game now? Because I basically just sat and watched him play, and occasionally I would take over the controller. But man, I remember just having so much trouble renting Nintendo games. Like, Super Nintendo was fine, but Nintendo, man, like, it was a miracle to get those things to work. I remember renting WrestleMania, the first WWF WrestleMania.
That.
And
yeah,
I didn't get to play it because it would not work. My dad even took the rubbing alcohol and like cleaned it, everything. It just did not work, so I never got to play it. And I remember we rented it, and we had some new neighbors that had moved in up the hill a little bit, and there was a kid that was there, and he came running down to like talk to me. And all I could think was he just had like this booger hanging out of his nose, but I didn't tell him. And he just kept like talking and talking. I had like my game in hand and I was ready to go play. And he just kept talking and talking. All I was fixated on was just that booger. And I was just like, well, I got to go play this now. And he's like, oh, okay. And I don't think I ever had a conversation with him again.
That's pretty.
He probably realized he had a booger on his face and didn't show his face in public again.
God, I guess not. And what is Giannis just mentioned something that he used to rent over and over, Digger T Rock. And I think that was a Nintendo game, but I don't think I ever played it, though. Either of you played Digger T Rock? I don't.
I'm going to have to actually look that up right now because I have no idea what the hell that is.
I think I remember an advertisement in Nintendo. Like I said, I owned all the damn magazines, so I'd have to memorize every freaking game. But that is one I don't think I played. Sounds strange. I'm curious.
Yeah, this sort of looks like some weird Dig Dug kind of game in a way.
Oh, so it's a Dig Dug,
It's basically just a platformer. It kind of looks like Mario, except the character looks like he's got a hat with a flashlight on it and a shovel.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never even heard of that game. That's kind of cool.
Well, now that I have an emulator, now that Giannis just recommended that game. Maybe when I'm done here on the podcast, I might try that later between Peyton and Sculpton and let him know what I think of Digger T Rock. I'll let you know what I think of it tonight, Giannis, on Fans of Power right here live on YouTube at 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh, there you go. Link down below for Fans of Power. Give that a like and subscribe. I did want to read this because I got a message from Brad Collins all the way from Australia earlier this morning that said that he just noticed today's topic and thought of a good side rant, which is basically most of the stuff that we've mentioned here. Basically, the death of video shops. Here in Australia, there are no video shops in existence, but back in the day, you could find one or a multitude of shops on every block. Very sad my kids won't get to experience this. I remember walking down every aisle looking at the artwork or movies, still reading the back sometimes, spending a full hour and walking away with nothing, or a tape that I had rented before. So, Tyler, you guys kind of had a lot in common there. Next day, he would go back knowing full well the same videos would be there, but getting another one that appealed to him that it didn't the night before. He said, it's funny how your moods could change so regularly as a child or teen. And then lastly, how much did it piss you off when you'd rent a tape and it wasn't rewound?
Well, that never rewinded. I didn't get pissed off if it's the wrong tape. Like some doof put a different tape inside like the video rental box, and the clerk never bothered to notice, and you get home like, what the hell is this? And then the $5 is wasted. And
it sounds like a kindred spirit with us, though. Definitely he has the same stories and everything that we said as well. But yeah, you're right, same thing when I showed Tyler and Nathan when I thought I had that great WrestleMania 6 tape. I sure had the outside cover and I take an inside when I got home, and this is one that I bought. It was nothing to do with that. It was like a really old wrestling tape of some other thing, which was cool. But I was like, I wanted my WrestleMania 6. I thought I was getting this for $1 when everything was being sold out at that damn store. So that was a kick right in the nuts. I don't think I ever experienced a wrong tape like Tyler did of renting. But for purchasing, I think that pissed me off a lot.
Yeah, I never...
It happened with me too, purchasing like previously viewed tapes, like He-Man tapes. I would buy them, and the tape that I think I was getting, it was a different He-Man tape. Like, it was heartbreaking because I wanted to buy that tape, not this one. And you still go with it because you're like, oh, well, all right. But you know, that happened to me a few times too when I would buy a lot of those tapes. That was the first like big purchase I made too, was a previously viewed tape of He-Man. I think it was like volume 9 that Beyond Video was selling, and it was $5. $2 or $5. And I remember being so proud of that purchase on a Saturday and going to my pawpaw's house and watching it because I stayed the night with them, and like, wow, I bought my first big purchase and I own a He-Man tape. Like, I was so proud of that. And the first, I bought a previous food She-Ra tape that I still to this day from Beyond Video. It's sitting in the other room with the clamshell case, everything. It's just a treasure possession because I rented that tape so much and was so proud to know I could buy that. And I did. It was just pure magic. And I will say this real quickly though, because both you guys can appreciate this. And when so many locations like grocery stores and convenience stores had video rentals, every one of them I went to, and it was like I'd be sitting in my car and would just kind of glance like what they had on the wall, or would wander back there while we're checking out buying candy or something. I would always see Jason Takes Manhattan, no matter what. I remember sitting in the parking lot of Way Supermarket in Dublin, and just or driving by, and just glance like they got a video store in there, and the only thing I could make out was the box art for Jason Takes Manhattan. Or I would go into any of the convenience stores like Sandstone, like Matt and Jordan, if they listen to this, they know what I'm talking about. Sandstone Market on Plum Creek, they had Jason Takes Manhattan. I remember always seeing that Friday and would pick it up and look at the back like, oh man, they're scary. Mm-hmm. But I'd always see that tape no matter where I'd go.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I don't remember just specifically seeing one tape over and over at all locations. For me, I always just would go in and it was always new releases. I would look at that, and then I would venture over to the wrestling tapes and see what all they had. I remember renting Starrcade 90 with Sting versus the Black Scorpion. And I was just like, man, it was Ric Flair the whole time. Like, that sucks. Like, that's really terrible.
I love knowing that little 6-year-old Nathan was a mark even back then. Like, this is bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, that's the best they could do, because I'm sitting there thinking, like, even as a kid, I'm like, oh, what if it's someone from the WWF, you know? They're trying to just keep it, like, this big, and no, it's just fucking Ric Flair. I'm like, really? Come on. Horseshit.
This is horseshit. I think the one...
I picture Nathan probably cussing to it, his dad's just laughing at him, like, you know, and your mom's like, Nathan? Like, what? It's bullshit. It's Ric Flair. Yeah.
She would do that. Pick up those socks.
I think I remember I've seen in a few places, like what Tyler said. I got a kick out of them. I've seen about 3 of them. I honestly don't remember if they made more, but Maniac Cop 3, for whatever reason. I remember seeing that damn cover everywhere. You know how he stands with his old deformed up face, you know, and then holding the shotgun. I just remember everywhere I went, that is what I seen was Maniac Cop 3. And of course I rented it. It's just a, you know, cheesy B-rated horror movie. I don't know if either of you've seen any of them, but
yeah, I've seen the first one.
Yeah,
I thought the first one was cool. I enjoyed it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Well, never
mind. Yes. Hell, even like there was a store that it was called Curtis Mathis. I don't know, maybe Nathan remember. It was like down the road from the mall back in the day. It used to be good, and they would sell, you know, TVs, laundry, like washer and dryers and stuff. And up on their like elevated level, they had a couple shelves of VHS tapes to rent. Hmm. I remember like the one or two times we went in there, like, they got tapes to rent? They had volume 2 of He-Man, and they had Chuck Norris and the Karate Commandos. Like, oh man, you know, just like, I know both of these. Just think it was so cool. Like Curtis Mathis, like this, like,
that doesn't ring a bell at all to me.
Yeah, I could point at the location. I know next time you and I go to Christiansburg together, but it was amazing. Kroger, I think even Kroger back in the day used to rent and sell videotapes back in, at least in the early 90s and probably late 80s. You know, it was amazing to know how everybody wanted to get in on video rentals and video sales back then. It was so cool, man. It really was. It was because you just didn't know what store had. And even going out of town and I would pass a mom-and-pop video store, I would always wonder, what if they got any He-Man tapes in there? Or any Thundercats or something like that? And going to this video store in Nag's Head in 1997, when I went with the Hiltons to Nag's Head, walk across the street, they had He-Man tapes to rent. It was just, it was so cool to know that this place in Nagshead
what? Had What? I know about He-Man too. Holy shit. Yeah. I'm going to throw this out real quick. I'm going to mute my mic for a couple minutes just avoid dogs cuz Emily is almost home. So I'm going to do that while you guys continue. I just want to throw that.
Wrap things up here anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we're about ready to wrap it up anyway, so.
Well, I mean, she's on the block, so she's
good.
She's
like, how about we start wrapping up, and hopefully we'll get some of the dogs barking at the end. It makes it even better. So go ahead.
Yeah, wrap it up. Wrap it up.
Well, why don't you guys give final thoughts? I can mute the mic, let her get them settled.
I want to hear the damn barking, minutes. But yeah.
No.
Yes, you better do it. Well, anyway,
I'm going to text her. You guys give your final thoughts. I'm going to get this going right now.
Okay, and I want to hear barking. But yeah, so no, final thoughts is... yeah, it's what I said and what Tyler said. It ends with us, with our generation when we grew up. We're never going to see anything like this before. I mean, again, of VHS, you know, tapes, the experience of seeing these cool-ass covers. Because, hell, even if they try to do some retro stuff and trying to bring back some type of video rental stores, still not going to have the same magic. I mean, the covers are just... they're white bread, as I like saying. They are white bread, vanilla. They're nothing. They're boring. They're not beautiful pieces of art. They don't make you want to pick it up. It's a picture of a guy standing there, thumbs up, holding a gun, looking straight at you. They're boring. It's the pictures of the actors instead of these beautiful pieces that draw you in. But that whole magic of going and renting and spending time with your friends and your family, it's gone. It's sad. But I'm so grateful that I was able to grow up with that and experience it before, well, obviously it's gone. The kids nowadays don't know it, so they don't know what they're missing, literally. That's a true statement, because they don't have it to understand what it is. But I love that the video stores and the VHS, and just hell, we went into the tangent of video games too, of renting. I'm so grateful for that experience, and it's sad other people won't be able to know what that was like. This new generation, they'll never know.
Yeah, I don't envy them at all. Like, I will. I mean, we can't argue. It is fun to, if you want to watch footage of a game you haven't played in a long time, or watch trailers for a movie from 1988. You can do that now. It's fun to see all that stuff. We can't argue that the things we have accessible now. There's pros and cons to it. It's fun for us now. I mean, if we had Vol, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing right now with technology and stuff like that. You know, but I am grateful. It is sad to know that kids today, like my new and other kids, they will never know what it's like to go to the video store and pick out one movie for the weekend, or pick out a video game, or all that stuff. It's just, it's an adventure. It was fun. And, you know, anybody listening to this, you know, you know exactly what we're talking about. It doesn't have to be that in-depth, because we all share the same excitement and joys and disappointments of going to look for something you didn't get it, or whatever the case may be. I wouldn't trade those memories for anything. I mean, I look at the places where these video stores used to be. I look at them all the time when I pass and think, it's where Beyond Video used to be. It's where King Video used to be. And think about that and reminisce, and, you know, makes me want to do what Nathan did when Payless went out of business and he walked past it in the mall. I liked it better when it was Payless.
Oh, yeah, because they were doing that shitty-ass play. God, it's like, why are you doing this in a mall? God, all right, so Tyler and I were going to the arcade in the mall, and right beside of that used to be a Payless Shoes, and they shut that down, and for some reason they were having some sort of player production that was going on.
There were like 10 people in there. It was very small.
Yeah, and we walked past, and I'm like, what is this? And then I yelled that at him. I was like, I liked it better when it was Payless, and we just kept walking.
And they all turned and looked, and I couldn't stop. I was laughing continuously through that, and would still bring it up and make myself laugh just thinking about it, because they all just stopped what they were doing and looked back at us teenage boys, you know. I don't know, he's jack shit to Joe, so forget it.
No, that is a cool story. I always love hearing any of those stories. Go ahead, Nathan, you wrap it up.
Well, I you guys have pretty much nailed everything on the head of anything I was thinking about saying with these videos. It's a damn shame that kids won't be able to experience it. Yes, it's great that things are so much more accessible, but at the same time, you lose that sense of adventure. And it's a damn shame. And like Tyler, I drive past these places, I'm like, yep, that's where Black Diamond Video used to be. And now it's like a Walgreens is there. You know, they tore down all those buildings and here's a Walgreens. And it's just so many things are just lost. The time, the art,
the artwork. Now it's just floating heads on everything and just bad. Like
bad
just,
part of the shop. Looks like shit.
Yeah. It's just all gone. And I miss it. Simpler times. Simpler times. But yeah, I'll go ahead and go into my little spiel and wrap it up, as Joe says. Thanks to everyone that joined us in the chat today. It's always awesome having you guys around. If you're new to the channel, make sure you hit subscribe, hit the bell so you get notified when we go live. Check all the links down below. We have the Podbean links, their audio stuff. Go to beyondretropodcast.com and it'll take you to sort of the Beyond Retro page on Pop Culture Network. So flip around there. Look at Fans of Power, Capes and Commentary. Speaking of Fans of Power, it's the podcast. Joe mentioned that earlier, 9 p.m. every Sunday. Dedicated to He-Man and Masters of the Universe. Check out his custom creations. Hit him up if you want him to make some figures. Check out his t-shirts. Like us on Facebook. Like this video. Comment down below. Let us know some of your video store memories. Things that, if you have any experiences like Tyler, as far as watching movies with your family, you know, if you have any weird experiences like I had watching True Lies, feel free to let us know down below.
Let us know about your dinger experiences, and we'd like to
know that. We want the more dinger stories, the better, you know?
Oh, man. Oh, and I guess we'll go ahead and get into this, too, but next month is October, so we have a few things lined up. Nothing sort of set in stone, but I can definitely tell you guys with confidence that there will be an episode dedicated to the new Halloween. All three of us plan on seeing that on its opening weekend, so we will have a review and discussion and hopefully good stuff, hopefully nothing bad. I'm really dreading if it's bad. I really want it to be the only...
I'm thinking it'll be good. I avoided every other preview that's popped up since Tyler and you asked me to watch that one preview a while back where I seen it, and that was it for the trailer. I watched no other ones, and I knew it was going to start happening, especially when I'm watching wrestling or anything else. I hear ding, 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 and I just hit mute. And I just count usually to about 45 because most of these previews are about 45 seconds or less. Then I unmute or I just change the channel. But yeah, so I've watched something else. But I did want to say one thing to you, Nathan, and that's from yesterday. I want to say happy 1-year anniversary on Facebook of when we
became friends. It was like we got done doing Beyond Retro, and that was my first episode, and then I think you and I became Facebook friends. Right after that episode. So, yeah, happy anniversary to you too, Joe.
Yeah, man. I would say send me something for a gift, but I don't accept. So,
yep.
All right. It was fun, Tyler.
By the way, I have to ask Joe, because Joe got so put out with me, and I don't know why he was so distraught over this. Are you serious? Do you want to do Dr. Giggles during October? Because I couldn't tell what the hell you, other than the fact you wanted to hear your own voice, you couldn't just say, are you serious? Don't put LOL.
I mean,
can't tell if Tyler's being serious or not. Why was that such a pinch nerve with you?
No, it wasn't a pinch nerve. It was a what the hell? Because I always look at Tyler, and there's a certain type of movies that he always mentioned he likes. And there's ones that if he mentions, I picture me being the person mentioning it and him being like, what the hell are you talking about? Do you really like that shitty-ass movie? So when he said Dr. Giggles, I was like, there's no fucking way he's serious. There's no way he wants to talk about Dr. Giggles. Please, no. So, no, I don't want to talk about Dr. Giggles. And
why didn't you just say that? God, you went to this whole point of like, let me record my voice and say, I can't tell if you're being serious. Just Tyler's a bit pompous prick when he talks like that. Like, what are you talking about? Don't put LOL, Tyler. Like, I don't know if Joe is joking or what, or if this is like, because I'm Italian. This movie means a lot to me because I'm Italian. And I eat burritos when I watch Dr. Giggles. Like, I don't know if this movie has some special meaning or Joe was just, you know, I had no idea what your problem was.
No, that was it. I was just being silly.
I was just being silly when I said.
Well, I'm glad you were because I was freaked out. I was like, he can't be. I was like, please don't let him be serious. And any time in a message Tyler puts LOL, I'm like, LOL? What the fuck is this? Tyler don't put LOL. It's like, that's another thing. He's like, don't put LOL.
It's become like part of the vernacular. And that's right. Joe has to put memes or some sort of, you know, Joe was above writing just a simple LOL. He's got to like, let me put a meme of Laura Dern so I can make fun of Tyler because he didn't get
this. Oh, yeah. Joke. That was hilarious. I was like, yeah, Tyler's a dumbass.
Because there's nothing to it. That's like, why is, I was like, Thomas, why is this funny? I don't
know. Well, I mean, what was there to understand? It's like the He-Man.
I wouldn't say guys, people are mean. Like, that's not masculine. Let's say you guys are mean. Like, no. What? If I'm going to attack someone for not liking
That's not like. What? That's not masculine.
I just felt But it just didn't feel like, you know, edgy enough. That's like, is there?
I think he's just upset because it went over his head.
No, I got it, but I'm like, why is this funny? Because there's nothing to it. And that's, I guess that was the point, that there was nothing to it, and saying you guys are mean. I'm like, I would never say anybody's mean. I'd say they're a prick if they don't like the He-Man movie. That's why I'm like, that's it?
Kind of feel like he still doesn't get it.
Whatever.
I think you got to wrap it up. I got to go eat. So go ahead. Tell everybody see you next week when we love it and all that.
I got to read the burrito.
Yeah, so next week, I'm guessing it's either going to be Beetlejuice, but all right, so... Some of the other weeks, we might do like a double up on some stuff. We got a few movies we'd like to talk about. We want to try to squeeze them all in. So we might have two movie topics per week. But next week, Beetlejuice.